Hey, it's Sean.
Hey, it's Bree.
And this is I Can Explain,
the podcast where we answer the questions that you are too afraid to ask.
What the fuck? It's getting weird. And this week's topic is the lockdown. So we were trying to think of what to talk about this week. And
5 minutes ago.
5 minutes ago. And Bree, always, as per usual, had some shit garbage ideas. But we realized that between our conversations about what to talk about, we just kept talking about the fucking state of the world. And we've already addressed this. We're just going to go back because this is like, what, month five?
Month six. I actually kind of want to go back and listen to that episode we recorded, like the week shit really hit the fan.
When you were still making like COVID jokes.
Yes.
And I was like, Brie, it's not funny.
And I was still planning on going to Portland that weekend.
Like an hour later.
No, like literally we recorded it on whatever, Monday or Tuesday. And I was supposed to go that Thursday to Portland, which, for those of you that don't know, we live in Vancouver, Canada, in BC. So crossing the border. And Sean was like, after we recorded, are you still going? And I was like, yeah, why not? And then the next day I woke up and all the sports had shut down, which I could care less about. But that really gave it like a whoa moment, because I was like, if they shut sports down,
then
we're fucked. We ain't going to Portland, sweetie.
We ain't doing shit.
Unpack your bags.
Yeah, I remember so distinctly like that episode ending. And I was like, so you're not going, right? And you were like, what are you talking about? Of course I'm going to Portland.
I'm going to go
to a brewery. Yes.
I was still in my head like, going to be brewery hopping in Portland.
I was like, you're not.
Honestly, I was, looking back, absolutely in denial.
Yeah.
But I think that's something to speak to, looking back on it, is that no one has anything to compare this to.
Oh, bitch, what the fuck is this?
Right? So, it's like, I said, did I say this on the podcast last week about the vodka metaphor that I was using?
You say a lot of shit garbage metaphors.
It's not about how vodka makes you drunk, it's how it makes you feel, okay?
It's not about what vodka says to you, it's about how much you drink during a global pandemic.
No, what I was saying to Sean, I think off mic, I'm not sure, it blurs these days, is that it's like when you are...
Oh, you did say this, yeah.
Yeah, did I say it on the podcast?
I believe so.
Okay, well, I'm gonna just say it again. It's like when you're a teenager and you drink for the first time. Or sorry, when you're of age and you drink for the first time.
Safe call. 21 out there for you States listeners.
And you like take a swig of vodka or you take a shot or whatever, and it goes down like a dream. It's, you don't know what's coming to you. So you don't expect it to be that bad. But now at age 82, I cannot even be in the same room as a bottle of vodka.
Exactly, because you had to live through prohibition.
Honestly. So it's hard for me to even see without getting PTSD, to be honest.
That's so true, because like, you know how everybody has a drink that like gives them the chills?
Yeah.
Mine, even though I still kind of vibe with it, but mine is peach schnapps.
Oh.
Because like that was one of the alcohols as a very of age person, as a teenager, that somebody just stole from their parents. So we just drank an entire bottle of peach schnapps, which is like delicious in cocktails, but bitch is hella viscous.
God.
Like
disgusting. So
thick.
Yeah.
So now, like, now I shudder. Still chug it by the bottle, but I shot it first.
You give a little shake before you do it. Mine's Captain Morgan's rum.
Okay.
That's mine. But yeah, so I think the same with this pandemic is that at that point, it's not that I was trying to be unsafe or like being like, oh, I know how bad it is, but I don't care. I'm going to go to Portland anyways, which I obviously didn't end up going. It was genuinely that I had nothing to compare it to.
Yeah.
So my brain could not even compute it.
No.
Like, I literally couldn't even get through my head, why would I not be able to drive 3 hours away and go to a brewery?
You're like,
it makes no
that's
sense.
Super, I will drive through the open borders.
Yeah.
And I will go to another country. Like I've been able to do my whole life.
Yeah, and I'll go to a brewery and like, what? Like, It was so hard to comprehend because you didn't have that before. And I think that I'm still having those moments where I kind of have fallen into a routine for my mental health, honestly, of trying not to think too much about the big picture of it.
Yeah.
And, like, the impending doom that we are
all. Oh, that's like me. I can't think of it. I whenever I think about space.
Yes.
It's way too big picture. It's too much. It actually makes me nauseous.
Exactly.
And my boyfriend, like, loves space. So sometimes he's like, space. And I'm like, so that's kind of how I feel about the pandemic as well.
Yeah.
But I think this is a good, like, 6-month check-in.
Yeah.
Especially because when we did our first quarantine.
Mm-hmm.
Quarantine? Quarantine. Yeah, I still can't say that fucking word 6 months later.
Nothing new.
We talked about the importance of having queer spaces and what it means to be without them.
Mm-hmm.
And we fully lived that because from March until 2 weeks ago, I hadn't seen more than 5 people at a time.
Yeah.
Like, that was the max because we're allowed 6 people here. And even that's, like, a little testy. So, and we went to a socially distant drag show, as we said in one of the past episodes, Cuscafuck. but it was so, mind you, the crowd there was like, I'm going to say 75% straight women.
Yeah, there was a lot of straighties.
Mm-hmm. But still, just being with other queer people, very few of them, was so rewarding.
Oh, God,
and thinking, okay, so I never really go out. Like, well, now, obviously. Yeah. And, like, I go to the club, like, twice a week now. Not very much. I never really go out. And just as shit was kind of hitting the fan, I would say every 6 months I get, like, an itch to go out.
Yeah.
So my six-month itch had come, and I was like, I'm ready to go out. And I remember we were talking. We were let's get the girls together. Let's take over the town.
I think someone threw out a limo.
Like, we're going to get bottle service, a limo. That was literally the week before everything went to shit. So it's been, I hadn't been out in 6 months. Add 6 months that I haven't fully been out in a year.
Yeah.
Actually, Halloween, we went out, like, kind of.
Yeah.
But I haven't been to, like, a specific gay club in over a year. And now I'm at the point that I get sad thinking that I can't go out.
No, I know.
I'm like, I would, if somebody spilt a drink down my back, I would thank them.
Seriously, hand them a 5.
Like, absolutely.
Yeah.
Like, I want to be bumped into. Mm-hmm. I want to be brushing shoulders with gays. Like, that's all I want.
I know. Fuck.
But we can't have it. And we won't have it unless you wear a fucking mask.
Absolutely. But it's true. I think that that's something, like, now, 6 months in or whatever the fuck we are, And looking back, you really realize things that you took for granted.
Yeah.
And there's so many of those things. Like, the list could go on forever. But speaking specifically to queer spaces, it made me realize, like, how lucky I've been living in Vancouver specifically and being able to be like, I want to go to a safe space tonight. I want to go out to a queer bar or a queer event or watch a drag show.
Yeah.
And there's always somewhere to go and there's always something to do. We've talked in the past about how it could always be better, and obviously I would prefer if there was more events and spaces for queer women. But at this rate,
we will take a gay club.
Take whatever. Oh my God. And it's made me appreciate it so much more, and also not only appreciate it and want it, but also realize how necessary it is for queer mental health to be around other queer individuals and, like, feel that support and feel that safe space.
Yeah.
Which is why I am so empathetic, always have been, but increasingly so over this pandemic, to people that, you know, are at home with maybe homophobic family members. Maybe they live in a town where queer spaces have never been accessible to them. It's really hard, right? And I think that I totally underestimated, because I've been going to queer spaces for so long now, the joy that they bring me.
Yeah.
And it's almost bringing me back to, I remember when I was before I was out and newly out to some people when I was going to those queer spaces for the first time and how they actually felt magical.
That's going to be us when like, we're allowed.
Right? Like, I'm actually going to go in. I think I might cry.
I will be crying.
Like, actually.
Yeah.
Because I remember the first few times I went to, whether it be a pride or a gay bar or whatever, a drag show, any of those kind of firsts, I actually had, like, a full body, like, reaction of feeling like...
You shit yourself.
I shit myself. And it's really awkward to continuously shit yourself. No, but, like, almost euphoric.
Yeah.
Because it's hard to describe as someone who's not queer, and if you're queer and you're listening and you've been to a gay bar for the first time or a drag show for the first time, you understand that feeling. It's hard to put into words, but you finally feel like you're home in some weird way, that who you are is okay, and it's, like, this overwhelming sense of validation. Like, specifically a moment I remember is the first time I went to Junction, a gay bar in Vancouver, and I looked over while I was waiting to order a drink, and there was these two guys kissing, and I remember starting to cry because just the fact that I could look over and two guys without a care in the world, no worry,
yeah,
were kissing was so validating for my sexuality that, like, wow, if they can just do that and not be worried about anyone looking at them or whatever, I felt so safe to be myself. And it was just this, like, really weird slow... Like, I can still picture what they look like. So,
was it me?
There's some really ugly guy. No, so I think that then, after that, obviously, I started going out a lot and being really excited about the spaces still and having a lot of fun, but they start to become normalized.
Absolutely.
In your mind.
Yeah.
And what this has done for me is made me realize, like, how much those spaces mean to me and make me want to do more in a sense of, like, also, like, creating more safe spaces and supporting those safe spaces. So, like... Yeah, it's just crazy, like you said, when we went to that drag show that was still, like, probably the straightest version of a drag show we've both ever been to.
Yeah.
In the sense that, like, 75% of the crowd was straight and it was, like, not in the gayborhood and all these other things. It was like, oh my God, there's drag queens on stage. Oh my God, here's this, like, moment of queerness.
Yeah.
And it just felt so fucking good that I was, like, walking on air afterwards.
Yeah. Funny story about that night when we first sat down at our table, me and my boyfriend, because everybody was separated. The waitress came up in a mask, and I recently got a tattoo of a mermaid on my arm, and she was like, "Oh my God, mermaid season! It's mermaid season!" And just, like, wouldn't stop saying that it was mermaid season. And I was like, "Do they have seasons?"
Like, what?
I was very confused. And then throughout the night, she would come back and she was like, "I just wrote your table number down as mermaid." I was like, "Okay, that's great, but what if somebody else has to serve our table?"
But also, like, what?
Yeah, I don't know.
Did you ever figure out what mermaid season was?
No, I didn't. I guess, like, summer, but I'm pretty sure if mermaids live in the water, they wouldn't have seasons.
Also, does your tattoo disappear when it's mermaid season? She's like, "That's gonna be really embarrassing in February."
Yeah, awkward. Not mermaid season. Yeah, that's so that was amazing. Fun.
Hey, Gabers, today's episode is sponsored by Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the trusted expert in language learning for 30 years for a reason. They are so good at helping you learn a language naturally in a way that allows for long-term retention, and it actually works. Trust me, this is coming from someone who attempted to learn a language in high school through the whole textbook old school method. Did not work. Rosetta Stone is different than that, okay? They really focus on allowing you to really learn to speak, listen, and think in that language. I also love a feature that they have built in that's called True Accent. It's a speech recognition feature, and it's like having a personal trainer for your accent. It's super convenient. You can do the lessons on your desktop or in-app, and it's an amazing value. The lifetime membership has all 25 languages, so you don't have to stop at one. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, I Can Explain podcast listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
I have realized during the lockdown mm-hmm. that when this all ends, when the world goes back to normal, I have realized two things about how I would like to approach things like events.
Right.
I think that I would like to say yes more often.
Oh, that's exciting for me to hear.
And go to things more often. However, here's the flip side that fucks you over. I think I am going to be more, like, specific about the things that I actually enjoy. And, like, I'm not going to lead people on to invite me to things that I don't want to go to.
Right.
And if I don't want to go to something, I'm just going to say, I don't want to go.
Right.
You know?
So everything where I'm in attendance.
Yeah. If you're there, I don't want to go. But, like, I'm going to be saying to saying yes to a lot of events that you're not at. No, but I've realized...
No, I get that. I get that.
Like, I've realized that I would like to do more things, but I've also realized that I would like to be... doing things I enjoy, and if it's not something I don't, or if it's something I don't want to go to, I would rather just be at home, you know? Yeah, like, totally. That has been part of this lockdown, that, like, I've realized that I, as much as I've had too much fucking time, mm-hmm. I do need my own time.
You know? I think that that has been something for me as well, in the sense that something that this COVID lockdown situation has given people is...
COVID. And... That's what that's the point, Brie.
No, is a very easy out to anything you don't want to be a part of.
Yeah.
Right? Because no matter what, you can just say, I'm uncomfortable going to that space.
They're like, it's a Zoom call.
You can even be like, but seriously, like, you can even be like, I'm just having a weird mental health day because of that, which I feel has become more regular.
Yeah.
In a good way.
Yeah.
Than before. Before, I would feel like if someone asked me to do something that wasn't a super close friend that I could just tell them straight up, I would have to come up with some big elaborate, like, oh, well, I'm working till whatever. So, like, unfortunately, you know, whenever.
Yeah.
I'm like, Why am I lying? Why don't I just say...
I don't fucking want to be there.
I don't want to do that tonight.
Also, I respect people more now, especially because even, like you said, there are a thousand excuses that people can use now because of COVID, not in a negative sense. Mm-hmm. But I've had people be like, I don't want to do Zoom trivia tonight.
Yeah.
I just don't want to do it. And I'm like, that is fair.
Yeah.
And moving on.
Totally. 1,000%. And I think everyone's gotten better at listening to each other about that. And, like, not, like, peer pressuring. Like, come on, it'll be fun. Everyone gets it to a different level. Because everyone's like, I've had that day where I feel, like, fucking drained.
Yeah.
And I'm just over it.
But now I'm like, once we leave this, if somebody says they don't want to come, I'm not going to fucking push them. Because I don't want them to come if they don't want to be there.
If they don't want to come. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But another thing that I've realized for myself is how much energy and, like, happiness I get from being around other people.
Oh, okay.
And, like, actually, like, physically around other people.
Yeah.
I always knew that about myself. Like, I always knew, I've talked about this podcast before, how I'm, like, a physically affectionate person, both platonically and not platonically. And, like, I just, that's how I show affection. That's how I show love. And that's something I've had to completely adjust for myself. Yeah. I think more than a lot of people is that, like, I can't just go up and hug people. I can't just, like, pat someone on the arm. Like, in fact, like, that's really rude.
Yeah, like, don't touch me.
Yeah, exactly. So that's been something that I've had to, like, consciously adjust for myself, because that's just so much of how I, like, express myself to my friends or whatever. And I've realized that as much as, like, I absolutely agree that obviously for COVID purposes I should be doing that, it also has been very, like, draining for me to not be able to express myself that way or be, like, around people in person, because I feel like I get a lot of my energy off of, like, being around people, like, in person.
Yeah.
And, in fact, the online thing is almost the opposite for me. As much as I have, like, a lot of fun, like, Sean and I with some friends do a weekly trivia night on Zoom, and I really enjoy it, but afterwards, I almost have, like, a down spiral.
Right.
It's, like, coming off drugs or something, because I'm, like, getting my high of, like, human interaction, and then afterwards, I realize it wasn't, like,
you're
actually
stuck
there.
With Julia.
And I'm... And That's exactly the problem. Yeah. No, afterwards I realized, like, it's almost worse because...
Okay. You don't have to come.
No, because I love it while I'm on. But then afterwards I'm like, I'm sitting alone in my apartment and drunk. I'm drunk. Yeah. So then it's just like kind of sad. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not like you're like, woo, heading home in the cab with the friends. Yeah. Like, see you guys, that was so fun. Like, we all got drunk together. It's like a very like stark, like...
The Zoom call ends and you catch your own reflection in it. And you're just sitting there with a beer.
An empty bottle of wine beside you. Yeah, and you're just like...
Silence.
Stand up, like, staggering to my kitchen. And I'm like, I'm alone here. Like, what is happening?
Yeah.
So it's, like, almost, like, in some ways, like, it's those moments that makes you realize how weird it is.
Yeah.
Because a lot, as I mentioned earlier, a lot of what I have adjusted for my own mental health is kind of taking things moment by moment and day by day and trying not to look at the big picture. And that's one of those moments where the big picture becomes aware.
Yeah.
And I have to be like, forget it.
Picture is like, knock, knock, bitch.
Yeah. You're alone, drunk in your apartment. Did you have
Loser.
Fun talking to the people on the screen? Did you have a good time doing that?
Actually.
Like, so it's like actually kind of like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
It's those moments that you realize are really weird. The other one that's been actually very triggering for me and I had to turn it off.
Okay.
And usually I use triggering in a funny way, which you probably shouldn't. Like, usually when I say that, I'm, like, joking. Like, yeah. Oh, I'm triggered by, like, your Sean's
definitely the
presence.
Wrong. Well, that one's not funny. That one's true.
That's what I mean. That's usually how I say those sorts of things. But this one is, like, actually triggering as someone who deals with mental health issues, to put it lightly. I had to turn off my Facebook memories.
Oh, yeah, you told me about this.
Because for those of you that don't sell Facebook, I don't see why you would, honestly, unless you have to have it for business, which I do. All my business accounts connect to it. But what Facebook does nowadays is it pops up, like, every day or at least once a week, like, a new memory. And it'll be, like, 7 years ago on this day, you posted this photo or you posted this status or whatever it was. And I feel like, I don't know if it's just because I was noticing them more or whatever, or they thought people were bored, so they thought it'd make people happy, but it did the opposite for me. I feel like it was, like, ramped up. Like, yeah. I was getting, like, two memories a day, and it would be, like, this time last year, me at Pride. This time last year, me at a concert. This time last year, like, me hugging my family at, like, a family, like, reunion dinner.
Oh, yeah. Mine are always, like, 5 years ago, you were skinny and there wasn't a pandemic. And I'm like, fuck.
No, and it was actually like it started like it was those moments where I was like, this is not helping me because what the only way I'm getting through this is to almost ignore it in like that sounds bad because I'm not like dealing with it head on, blah blah, but like I don't know how else to deal with this than to just try and do my best and like one step at a time and adjust where I can. But then there's those moments where it's like the very stark reality that like, wow, like
Space is out there.
Space. We're in space. Oh, gives me the shakes.
I've talked about it with you briefly and some other friends, and I think it directly ties into what you were just talking about. Something that I really hadn't thought about until it hit me in a crushing way at the beginning of this week was where I was kind of sitting mental health-wise. Because I had probably the shittiest day, work related that I've had in months.
Yeah.
I was that kind of anxious cause like I have generalized anxiety from life. I'm on medication for it.
Yeah.
But I was having that anxiety that I couldn't get warm. Like, I was just so out of sorts that I felt like I was, like, vibrating. I just could not, like, everything was just hitting the fan. And then I was thinking, and I was like, what is happening at work is, like, a pretty big deal. Yeah. It is, like, an actual thing I'm dealing with. But I was like, why am I so stressed right now?
Right.
Usually, I could just be like, you know, I'm on meds. That'll guide me through. But no, I can usually rationalize it. Mm-hmm. And then I sat there while I was having one of those showers that you just sit on the floor of the shower with like scalding hot water and just like
try something.
Yeah, try to locate your body again.
Yeah.
While I was having one of those showers, I was like, holy fuck. I haven't even processed what this whole thing has meant to me. Yeah. I feel like I've been on go mode mm-hmm. since day one. I am kind of thankful I am one of these people because we're finding out that there's not a ton of them. But when I got... not in my circle, but just in the world. But yeah. when we got the health guidelines from our mm-hmm. province and everything, I just listened. I was like, yeah. this is my life now. Here we go. This is the new normal. Masks, not seeing people, don't see my grandma.
Yeah.
Like, if I see my grandma, it's like outside with a mm-hmm. mask on. Mm-hmm. I've seen her like twice, you know, distancing family at birthdays. And I hadn't really thought about what that was doing to me mm-hmm. or what it was doing to my brain.
Yeah.
And I was like, of course I'm fucking stressed right now. Like yeah. the world is so stressful.
Yeah.
And I think that a lot of people, like, it just kicked their fight or flight. And we've been in 6 months mm-hmm. of fight or flight mode.
Yeah.
And like, of course people are exhausted.
Oh yeah.
It's exhausting.
There's only so long that you can stay in that space.
Yeah.
And speaking to that, being the fact that everything is so much more exhausting, is every simple thing that you've done your whole life now has an extra one, if not more, steps yep. to it. So, like, everything becomes a little bit harder and a little bit more difficult to process or to do. So, like, even the littlest things, but it all adds up. Like, you're going to a grocery store. Oh, did I forget my mask at home? Okay, do I have it? Okay, make sure I put it on.
Follow
okay.
the lines
make
on the
sure
floor.
Make sure I follow the line. Make sure I, like, walk away, like, when people are getting close to me.
Yeah.
Like, those just little things add up that this one experience that you're already doing a task is now 10 times more difficult mentally because you have to be on mentally the whole time.
Yeah.
And that's it with anything. And even the amount that all of us have learned and changed when it comes to like work.
Oh, yeah.
Or how we interact, like little things like learning how to use Zoom.
Oh.
And for a lot of people, much harder than others, right? Mm-hmm. Depending on how often you are using technology before.
Or how fucking old you are.
Yeah, legit. Or like, you know, for my work, having to adjust a lot of my stuff to online that was not online before. So like everything has just had so much. I had extra paperwork for work because before, for those of you listening that don't know, I'm a real estate agent. So before every showing, you have to do a separate contract saying that you don't have COVID or you haven't been around people. You have to get that signed. Like everything's just got like a few extra steps to it.
Yeah.
Now. So like, obviously, not only is it like draining the fact that it's scary and sad and horrible that this is happening, but also just the fact that your day is now filled with 100 extra tasks and things that you have to be memorizing and conscious of and learning new skills and learning new ways to do things.
Yeah.
It's fucked.
Yeah.
It's and fine. I honestly think like, I think all of us to a certain extent are in some form of that mode where it's just like, do what you gotta do, one foot in front of the other, like, we're gonna get through this, like, fight or flight. And I am honestly starting to get fearful of the, like, aftermath.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it's gonna be one of those things that, like, after it's done, then you're gonna have the, like, whoa
yeah.
moment of, like, holy fuck, what just happened? And then that's when
like
everyone's
when
gonna feel it.
You run a marathon or something
yeah.
after you're like, holy shit.
After the adrenaline dies.
Yeah.
Like when I almost died on a plane going to Palm Springs, the whole time I was fucking numb.
Yeah.
That's how I deal with stressful things. I go numb because it's like my body, my anxiety, like saving itself. And then literally we like averted to another location. We ended up going to Phoenix because we couldn't land in Palm Springs after being in there for fucking 8 hours, almost dying, and landed. And then like an hour later, we were in a rental car to Palm Springs going to Dinah Shore. And an hour later in the car, I just started like sobbing and shaking.
Yeah.
And I did not stop for the whole 5 hour drive. I couldn't stop. And it's like, that is, I'm fearful for myself because that's how I react in stressful situations. So I'm literally like waiting for when I finally have that breakdown.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it ain't going to be good
because no.
it's not just an 8 hour plane ride. It's like it's 6 months.
Literally. Oh, 6 months. You're cute. But then it's also like, we are also talking about the stress that we are going through with fucking work. And we are of the lucky yeah. few that still have 100%. Their jobs. There's also all this fucking unrest and racial divide and systematic oppression and all this shit. It's like, it's so insane. And I do think that, like, we need to be a little easier on ourselves with, like, little things that happen throughout your day, because these are unprecedented times. So if you have a day that you're not, you know, vibing, you're having a tough time, that is okay.
The funniest tweet that I posted was like, I could really go for some precedented times right now. Precedented times, like, would be awesome.
Like wow. Give me some, like, Hollywood gossip.
Like, yeah.
You know?
Like, when was that, like, the big news?
Exactly. Like, no one... like, what are the Jenners up to?
Yeah, like honestly, I'd love to
who
know.
Who are they fucking? You know? I'm hearing none of that shit.
Oh, it's so much all at once. But...
I do think it is, speaking of the Jenners, did you see that thing about Khloe Kardashian's photo?
No, I saw that she highly edited her.
Yeah,
selfies.
So I think it's the UK, they're like thinking about making it mandatory for celebrities to say what photos of theirs have been edited because how highly edited photos are, and the photo used is hers.
She literally is changing law by her.
Imagine
face
like photoshopping tuning. Yourself into oblivion so badly that the government has to step in.
The government's like, okay, this is gone. Yeah.
Chloe, miss, it's getting a little nuts. Which I do think is really funny. Like, that photo when it came out was just blew everyone's minds.
Yeah.
But then I do find it really funny that she decided, I think she filmed, like, Keeping Up in the same look. Outfit. And I'm like, girl, you're just giving a side-by-side.
So you give a side-by-side of the video. Because that's the thing. If you want to see how someone actually looks, look at a video.
Yeah.
Right? Instagram these days, that's the only really way to know.
Yeah.
Because it's crazy. I have seen some people in real life that do not look like they look on their
you.
Instagram.
Me every time I see myself in the mirror.
Every time I go to post a story, gives me quite the fright.
Yeah, but something that did help my mental health, also relating to Photoshop, is there was like some study that came out that said that the image you see in the mirror is more true to real life than an image you see off like a phone camera.
Oh,
so that really boosted my confidence.
Oh, that boosts mine too.
Yeah,
because I always feel like I look so much better.
I look like
in the
a fat dump truck when I see myself in photos that I took.
Like, I literally look in the mirror sometimes, and I'm like if I've gotten already, and I'm like, oh my god,
I'm like I'm the best looking person that's ever
walked this earth.
Yeah,
like holy shit.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I gotta get this documented. Like, I gotta get this for the gram. Julia takes approximately 1,200 photos. 12, like, she'll literally try like 6 times and it'll end in me like having like internal crisis over the fact that I'm like, how can I think I look this good and I look this bad?
Absolutely. I go through that a lot.
Oh my god, the stress of it all. I purposely have never used Facetune or anything like that. Simply because I have heard from friends, and you know what, no hate out there to people that do use it for like little tweaks and adjustments, like whatever, you know, honestly, I know, like, I think there is a line, but I also get that, like, there's a lot of pressure on social media and people want to look their best. And,
absolutely,
you know, if all the supermodels can use it in magazines, they're photoshopping different arms on fucking Victoria's Secret models.
They have like 9 arms.
You can get rid of the zit on your face. Like, whatever. What
if Fashion Nova can just get rid of all their kneecaps.
Yeah. I do, full disclosure, just so people don't look at my Instagram and think, like, how do you look this amazing with that face, dude? I'm just joking. No, I do use, I have like a set filter.
Yeah.
So like I put that over all of my photos. It like makes things look a little bluer and like less like orangey lighting and stuff like that, which I really enjoy. I think it's flattering. However, I have heard from friends that once you dive down the face tuning trap, it's so hard to go back.
Your friend is Chloe.
Yeah. Heard from my friend Chloe that... No, but I can see that because I've watched a few YouTubers do it where they do it for fun for video and they, like, film themselves doing it, like, screen record.
Yeah.
And they get to the end and you, like, hold it down. And it's, like, the before and after. And they literally, like, I've never hated myself more.
Yeah.
Because it's, like, little tweak, little tweak, little tweak, little tweak. And then...
New person.
You post it. But if you look at the back to the original, it's, like, holy fuck.
Yeah.
I'm hideous. So like, I don't need that for myself. I'm hard enough on myself.
Yeah,
as
I'll
is.
Avoid that.
I'll avoid that like the plague.
So how are you? Oh, also, I think it's really funny talking about the quarantine. Do you like how everybody was like very over Zoom for a bit, and now it's she's back.
I think because the way that the regulations worked in BC is that we were like fully closed down. Well, not fully, like not to the same extent as some places locked down, but it was like basically don't go out unless you absolutely have to get groceries and stuff was kind of the understanding. People were like huge on Zoom. And then they gave us a little leeway. And I feel like as soon as people could like hang out in any way in person at all, they were like, Zoom.
Yeah.
So then everyone like was like, I don't even want to look at a fucking laptop. And then now because of people not handling the little bit of leeway we were given properly, now the numbers are going back up. So we were down to like 8 new cases a day at one point. And I remember, this is so sad, I remember at one point it got to like 12 and I was like, woo, it's getting a little high again, 12 today. Anyways, now it's like 100 or over a day. So they're, you know, basically I think people are like, oh fuck, lock it back up. So they haven't actually told us that, the government, but I think personally, and for like a lot of friends talking to them, they're like, let's just bring this back onto Zoom for a bit because it's starting to get sketchy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, moving forward into the next 6 months this, what do you want
this
from
this?
What is your plan? How are you moving forward? Break it down for me.
This is what I hate talking about, because the thing that makes me the most miserable of anything is the fact that I don't know when it's going to end.
Yeah, so I just like to take 6 months. Now that we've experienced 6 months, I'm just going to start planning
like
in 6 months months
like
chunks.
I don't want to do another 6 months of that. I don't want
Well, you fucking have to.
I don't want it to happen, John. Honestly, all I can say is day by day. Because I wish I had like some like bigger, better plan.
Yeah.
I remember at the beginning of quarantine thinking like, okay, well, if this is going to give me like way more time at home, then I want to like achieve all these things in the meantime, because like I'm at home anyways. And to a certain extent, I feel like I've done that, but like, there's a lot of things that I'm like, how have I been locked up for 6 months and I still haven't got that done? But I'm like giving myself that break now. I'm like, I'm not even going to freaking set any goals. My goal is to wake up every day, do what I need to do. If I get something bonus done, awesome.
Yeah. You're potentially doing Sober October.
I do want to do Sober October.
And
I
think fitness challenge, finally.
I do want to do Sober October and a fitness challenge for one major reason, and that is my mental health.
Yeah.
Because I honestly could care less about...
You just want me to stop bullying the physical... That's the mental health part of it.
Honestly, I'm in a place in my life I could care less about the physical aspects.
Absolutely.
Of it. And I'm really actually happy for myself with that. But I know, and we've talked about this before, I know what helps with my anxiety.
Yeah.
I know what helps my mental health. It's just I don't do a lot of those things. But when I do them, I feel fantastic. So, you know, the world's hard enough as is. My mental health has been all over the place. So I was like, you know what? It'd probably be really good for me to just be clean and sober for like a month, clear my head, get moving physically, and I'll probably feel way better.
Yeah.
Anxiety wise. Because I've been like spiraling on the like social media and screen time and all that. So I would really like to do that. I'm gonna leave my goals there because I originally was gonna write this whole fucking list of creative shit I wanted to get done. And it's, you know, it's just too much. I'm giving myself a pass. I'm like, day by day, get the work done I need to get done, and yeah, maybe do like a mental health month.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's fair. Mine was not like an actual plan. I was mostly just going to be easier on myself.
Oh, that's nice.
Because I feel like I was being pretty harsh on like productivity. And even though I've been like very productive for work, but like, you know, when you have like a fucking not productive half an hour, I'm like, you're a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Would this have happened in the office, you ugly bitch? So I'm going to try to stop doing that. I have been okay at exercising, but I, once again, for my mental health, would like to get back in it just because, like, it just really gives me some peace of mind and, like, some time to think. It also really helps break up a day.
Totally. Yeah.
Which is like, at this point, all we can really ask
for.
I'm like, if I can delegate an hour to doing something, that's an hour I don't need to fill with something else.
Totally. That's so true.
So that's good. And that's basically it. I also bought a Halloween costume and am going to do a full Halloween look. I don't care if I'm literally at home alone.
Yeah.
I love Halloween.
Honestly, that's the most fun I have for Halloween anyways. Usually I have so much fun, like, getting in our outfits, or, like, sometimes Julie and I will do, like, I'll do, like, face makeup on us, depending on it. And, like, I have the most fun doing that and then taking a few photos anyways.
I'm like, it's a Saturday. Yeah. If we even have to get fucking all done up and then have like a Zoom party, I will literally do that.
Who cares?
Like, I don't care. That'll be fun.
That's
like,
good.
You know? So I think that's really going to help me because I needed something to look forward to.
Yeah, that's a nice look forward to. I like that.
And I think it's a pretty great costume. So.
Oh, I'm excited.
Yeah.
Okay, well, wherever you're listening, please make sure that you're following or subscribed. It really, really helps us out. Also, pass us along to your friends, post us on social media, and tag us so we can repost. You can find us on Instagram at I Can Explain Podcast and personally at Sean.Lusk and at Brianne Williamson. And until next time, we will
see you around the neighborhood.
Rate us 5 stars.
5 fucking stars.